The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Moving Forward with Jen Sabin. The 21st century has introduced new norms and resources that are of immense value to businesses and their bottom line. Yet in business, we require relevance and innovation, not just more information. We need the true stories of what works and what does not work. Our program today will tell you what you need to know. The experiences, perspectives, and resources shared by Jen and her guests will make all the difference for you and your business moving forward. Now, here's your host, Jen Sabin.
Hello, hello, and welcome, everyone. Very much looking forward to our show today. It's a bit of Jen Unfiltered. We're going to chat about some very fundamental things, in some ways getting back to basics, and we're going to discuss people as assets, we're going to discuss leadership, we're going to discuss business models. Now, this can all sound a bit esoteric or generalized, but we're going to drill down and talk about some things that you may know, have forgotten, or never even occurred to you that can make a fundamental for your business, a fundamental difference for your business. You know, it's interesting because if someone were to ask me to describe myself, probably one of the first words I would use is capitalist. Is capitalist. I am a capitalist. I'm a lover of capitalism. I believe it's one of the greatest freedoms that exist to really understand kind of what it represents, what it embodies, what it's about. Most people would describe me as an entrepreneur, or entrepreneurial, or something of that. However, I describe myself as a capitalist. And capitalism is very much about free enterprise. It's about profitability. It's about, you know, you don't have to love what you do. It certainly has to have meaning. It needs to be important to you. Doesn't mean you have to love it. And there's so much stuff right now about loving it and passion. And yeah, that's important. And some may even argue that it's key and critical. However, if it's a business, it needs major part of that formula, like having your heartbeat or your blood pressure be healthy, is about the profitability. All right, so stay with me if you've just joined in or you've never listened to the show before. I want to talk about something that is often overlooked and really important. And it's interesting because Sir Richard Branson recently was asked and posted this on LinkedIn, right? What is one of the most important things or the things that he carries? So maybe that was a question that was posted out to a lot of thought leaders, et cetera. And Richard Branson responded, not a smartphone, which seemed to be like one of the top answers, some version of that technology piece. It was a brilliant assistant. Now, literally, does he carry his assistant around? No, but that's something that he makes sure is with him, that the same way that we carry something around for those who are very literal and just went down that road, come back in, reining you back in. And he talks about an assistant and the value of an assistant. Let's take a moment and consider that. Now, I know we've got a broad spectrum of listeners, right? And you may be at different stages in your business and growing your business development, different stages of growth. You might be starting out early stage, six-figure, seven-figure, eight-figure, mid-sized company. You may even be director or part of a larger organization, a multinational or a not-for-profit or something of that nature. We're talking here about people and a skill to be able to have an assistant. technology has replaced the need for assistance in many, many ways for many, many people. And they're able to do things that their resources have not made available by having technology in place, by having the tablets or the iPads, by having smartphones. However, there is something to having an assistant that is unique to tablets or those type of things. I believe it's John Maxwell, right, who's pretty much a leader in leadership, right? Very Christian-based in terms of where he comes from, and noted internationally, globally, for the work he does around leadership. Some of you may be familiar with him. Some of our listeners may not. And this, you know, I'm Jewish, and I listen to him and read his stuff. He's quite good. And more information than you wanted to know, right? But these are important to actually understand context. I don't want anyone to be surprised by something or you know, have a characteristic or a component of something trump the content, right? And I'll talk about that, too, a little later. So here's Richard Branson talking about an assistant. So John Maxwell was talking about how his assistant would go to meetings with him and would be involved, kind of like a chief of staff. Why? Because that way that person understood, one, how he wanted things done, what the context or what things, the relevancy of things, and it made the assistant more effective and efficient. So they were woven into the tapestry about what was going on and didn't need to be brought into the loop. I will tell you that having a great assistant can make the difference in the growth, the development of you as a business owner, as well as your business. It's typically a very smart investment. And where the challenge is for many of us as leaders is being able to ensure that we know how to delegate, that so we're creating bandwidth, that we have kind of another version of our brain out there somewhere. And, you know, there are some people who can do everything themselves. And there are places where you may want to be hands-on. And, but one of the ways that you could keep on top of kind of a vast or be an empire building is to have an assistant who's on the ball. Right? And this isn't like a stereotypical thing, like they're sitting in an office in front of the desk. They may be on the move with you. Now, in the programs we lead at the Growth Management Group, right, there's one that's Daring to Grow series about building businesses. And I have speakers come in. And they're not pitching. Like, these are not people saying, buy my product or service. This isn't, you know, a bait and switch, which a lot of programs do, and I have very strong opinions about that. It's one thing to bring in professionals and have those resources be available. It's another thing to have something be an infomercial. Bothers me to no end. You don't need to pay for that, okay? So one of the people that I have come in and speak to the participants in this Daring to Grow program, and typically they represent a global audience. It's not, this is all done virtually. And is an executive assistant. Her name is Meryl Scher. Hello, Meryl, if you're listening by any chance. And she is one of the best executive assistants, probably, you know, certainly in the New York area. And when you spread this out globally, she's in the top of the hit parade. This is a person who has been the executive assistant for some of the top business men and women literally in the United States. And those people also represent a global reach. And her CV is quite impressive. And Meryl is amazing. Amazing. And why I have her and have had her speak to the participants in these business programs is for a couple of reasons. One, what does it take to have a quality executive assistant or personal assistant or whatever it is? What does that assistant need? How to find one? What are you looking for? What are the questions that would be prudent for you to know when seeking this out? What are some of the things they could provide that you never even considered? And then on the other side, I want these business owners who many of them are in the early stages of growing their business or are not, you know, six figures, maybe seven figures, or there's some programs where people are just starting out. They've got an idea and, you know, as I said, an idea and a buck 50, right? They don't have enough to get on the subway. It's not, what they have in place will not get them on the subway. And yet, you know, they're in those early stages of starting the business. So why is Merrill speaking to them? Because also, Merrill is the person that if any of these people want to reach the top decision maker in an organization, that member of the C-suite, they have to go through Merrill, right? And so Merrill spoke to them about smart ways to be able to build relationships with executive assistants. So trust me, when you know, there's a company and they have a product and they approached us about doing some consulting and helping them do some funding and just looking at how they set things up. And I was speaking with the CEO of this company and he mentioned an international icon, a star, who that week while we were speaking, because someone in his organization knew their housekeeper, who was a very, very close and connected, kind of like family, to the family, that icon, was bringing in their product to put in their kitchen. Not surreptitiously, not necessarily, but, oh, you know, I was given these that you may try them. And this person who works is the housekeeper for this person. They know what's appropriate and what's not appropriate, where the boundaries are. So, you know, it was something that was not crossing or violating a boundary. But how else would they have gotten to that icon? Maybe through the agent, maybe through, you know, who knows? Maybe they could have tweeted them or whatever. But when you know someone who is a gatekeeper or intimately involved in a, if we're talking from a professional capacity with the person you're trying to reach, it makes life so much easier. So that's also why we have Merrill, who is one of the top executive assistants, probably in the United States, speak to our business owners and those who are growing and cultivating their business. So, and also she shared with them what made what were the different great qualities about the executives that she's worked for and assisted, and some of the ways that they used her services. So their style of delegating, where for this one she played an important role and how she played an important role. Because the reality is, you know, she is just as connected as the CEO, the CFO, the director, the whatever the title is, because she's also making the appointments with the other important people in different industries, in media, in arts, in whatever. She's the person talking to their assistants or them. So there's something kind of incredibly obvious and often overlooked here, which is really about using some common sense and some strategic thinking. So I know that, you know, the participants in our Daring to Grow program, they have this added value. They know this stuff, and they're thinking this way. They're thinking in a way that most people don't think. So, you know, they're looking for different types of connections on LinkedIn. They're not just trying to connect with the CEO. They really know how 6 degrees of separation works and how to build relationships. So when Richard Branson mentioned that the one thing he always carries around is his assistant, there's something for each and every one of us to learn from this. So notice, how are you delegating? What structures, what systems do you have in place? Are you using technology that someone else could be doing? Where are you clogging up the bandwidth and the capacity? Where are you not learning how to be a leader by having an assistant? Now, there's a risk in terms of human capital and somebody leaves and what do we do? Well, you know, there's also risk with technology. Everything has, you know, anything that we do, there's a potential consequence, positive or negative. So there's this piece here. So I put it to you, the challenge is on. This, you know, is it time for you to have an assistant or a different kind of assistant? Or to even revisit how you're getting to decision makers depending on the nature of your business or the type of business you have. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we're going to talk about something else. We're going to talk about business models. And this is stellar. So don't go away.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
As your business grows, are you growing with it? Do you have the right balance of time, attention, work, and personal life? Take the growing pains out of growth and tune into The Business Edge with Marcia Zeidel. If you are spending most of your energy managing problems rather than focusing on taking your business to the next level, our program will give you the steps you need to make sure you have everything in place for forward-thinking business leadership. The Business Edge is heard every Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
Are you feeling slammed and suckered in today's stock market? If so, then you need to tune in to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, Jordan Kimmel will train you in what you can do to beat up the big boys on Wall Street, as well as share his secrets to success so that you can buy and sell like a profit-pumping pro. Grab the bull market by the horns and listen to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
We're always talking business.
Talk to an expert.
Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to Moving Forward with Jen Sabin. We'd love to hear from you today. Please call in to our program at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. If you'd prefer, send an email to Jen Sabin at jensabin.com. And remember, that's two N's in Jen. Now, back to Moving Forward.
Hello, hello. Welcome back, everyone. And if you were with us for the first segment of the show, we were talking about assistants. As Richard Branson mentioned, what is the one thing that he always carries around? It wasn't a smartphone. It wasn't an iPad. It wasn't even a composition notebook with a pen or a pencil. It is his assistant. So we were talking about assistants and executive assistants as just an extraordinary resource. I'm curious, what is something that you always carry around? So for those of you listening, please let us know. I'm curious, and I'd love to share some of those responses. So you can send that to Jen at jensabin.com. That's Jen at jensabin.com. Interested and curious. And what is something that you always carry around that you won't, you know, that's always with you, that is I need this one, right? Like, I wouldn't leave without this in terms of your business life. And I wonder if breath mints would be on any of those. You know, getting down to basics. But I digress. Okay. So, business models. We're going to talk about business models. And for some of you, you might be like, are you going to like teach us something? Are you talking at us? No, I want this to be really conversational in the sense that, you know, what is a business model, right? Like, okay, a business model is how your, you know, what your business does and how it makes its money. Bottom line, right? So we all, whether by default or design, we have a business model if we're in business. What's interesting, though, is for so many of us, we do a lot of focusing on our product or service and not so much the business model. We kind of default and trip into the business model. And there's some conversation and some resources that I want to open up to you for that, because one of the things that I've noticed is that many people who are really good businessmen and women may have, without even recognizing it, created a business model that's unique that to their product or service that you wouldn't necessarily find anywhere else, and they don't necessarily look at it as quote-unquote, we've designed this business model. They've just created ways to maximize revenue and expand their market share or to capture in a market share. So what, first of all, if you're not familiar with it, there's an incredible resource, and I want to make sure that I get this out to everyone, and that is businessmodelgeneration.com. Okay? Businessmodelgeneration.com. Absolutely, absolutely brilliant. It's based on the book, the best-selling book, Business Model Generation. Now, here's something I'm going to throw out to you, and see if you're in agreement here with me. Consider this. Have you ever heard someone speak or write a book about something that for you is just so basic and common sense that it occurs like it's a book on how to put toothpaste on a toothbrush? Like, it never would have occurred to you that there was a market or a place for this to be in a book or a conversation, because it's so woven into the fabric of how you do things or how you think that it never even occurred to you to discern that that could be extrapolated and commodified or turned into a product or service or even a conversation that people will be interested in. Because, you know, when I talk about how you put toothpaste on a toothbrush, it kind of begins and ends there. Like, there's, so what's so fascinating to me was when I learned about this book, The Business Model Generation, which is a brilliant book and I highly recommend it, what I saw and heard was pretty much a lot of the work that I've done, that my team is taught to do, and somebody else in a really great way packaged it and put it out there. And for me, had me recognize like value that I provide and that my company provides that I didn't even realize was value because it's so basic to how we work. Right? So some of you may have had that experience where you bumped up against something or heard about something or saw it and you're like, wait a minute, doesn't everyone think this way? Or isn't this just business as usual? Or I can't believe. And then you realize, wow, stepping back, brilliant, yay them. Because this is something that isn't there as a norm for many. So, you know, if you haven't read this book, I recommend the book. However, there's great resources that are provided, Business Model Generation. Now, why is this important? I want to give you some examples, and if you ever see the video associated with this, they discuss these examples. And ironically, I've used these examples with my clients, so I love that this happened. So some of you may be familiar with Nespresso, right? You know, that it's really good quality. It's like an espresso machine that you make at home. Well, that business in 87, you know, they had that product out there and they were going to bag it. It's a Nestle's product as a product line in the division. You know, they were going to get rid of it. It's interesting. It would have been interesting to talk about this with Craig Edelman, CEO of Popsy Cakes, who was on 2 weeks ago. And he, you know, he has created consumer brands and he ran the Mr. Coffee brand and the Crock-Pot brand. By the way, Crock-Pot is a brand. Otherwise, they're called slow cookers. And, you know, it would be interesting to have this conversation with him. However, so what's their business model today? This incredible division of Nestle that is growing, I don't remember the exact numbers currently, but literally like 30% compounded every year. It's a multi-billion dollar division. What's the deal? Well, quite frankly, they mass retail the machine. Okay, so they're losing margins in terms of the machine. They mass retail it, and the little thing that goes in the machine to make coffee, they have the patent on, and you could only get that through the Nespresso Direct. So there's no middleman in terms of that. There's no margin. And it's, think about it, how many cups of coffee do you have a day? How often are people purchasing those things? And no one else without patent infringement could sell another product for that particular equipment. Brilliant. They created the business model that worked for their product. You could have a great product, and your business model may not be maximizing or may even limit it. Originally, their business model was to sell that, was to get their money from selling it to corporate, like offices and things like that. Didn't work. It was when they went retail to the masses. So sometimes it's your product is your product. You want it to be quality. And you want to look at the business model if you're stagnating, if you're, you know, it's really tight territory, you know, so you actually, it's not always just about creating the product or service. It's about creating the business model that is the best platform. So you're not just creating the product or service. You may actually be creating a business model. Okay. Now, there are some very, very traditional business models, right? And you may recall Jody Johnson, who came in speaking about the wave of economic opportunity in Miami, was in her white paper, she was on a couple months ago, that she mentioned the different business models, because what she is up to is there's this incredible opportunity happening in South Florida, Miami, with the Port of Miami that represents billions into the South Florida economy. And she has been out there really reaching out to the small business community to ramp up and be ready for this. And so one of the things, the first thing she said was to, you know your business model. And for those of you who are listening who might not even be sure what type of business model there are, the dominant ones would be product manufacturers, wholesalers or retailers of products, so restaurants, wholesalers, stores, things like that. Lending institutions are, that's a business model. You know, banks, VCs, leasing agents, you know, whether it's intellectual property, whether it's labor, whether it's property, that it's a leasing business model. Professional services, typically that's a business model where they're trading time for dollars of some sort. You know, and then that could expand into other types of business models. Quote-based trades, like contractors, there's brokers, you know, people who are, as a business model, there it's a brokering business model, okay? And, you know, at some level, it's the difference between the product or service. However, you know, the business model is something that a lot of people don't focus on as a model. And what's so cool about the business generation model is if you go to that website, right, if you go to the website, what they will do is they will take you through a series of different aspects to literally write down, and it's suggested that you write it up, the answers to these things on Post-it so you could move them around and play with them. So you're actually, the same way that you would build a model plane, you're building the model for your business and you're playing around with it. So just some of the tips of this is, you know, they suggest using words and images, you know, the increased clarity by using different colors in terms of those Post-its. Colors also activate and link the creative part of our brain at the same time that working in the logical part of our brain. And something that's really important that they mention in this is not to fall in love with your first idea. So most of us, we do something, and if you've ever been in a corporate meeting where it's like, okay, this, done, got it, let's move, that makes sense. And however, no one actually challenges it in terms of, is this really the best way? And I'm not talking about taking something that, you know, never ends, where you lose sight of the purpose of it for, like, the process. However, if you presume that your first idea is the best idea, you have no opportunity to enhance it with some additional critical thinking or, you know, even just playing around with what's an alternative idea may open up something that would, for your business, for your product, for your service, all of a sudden open up a key market or an approach that would be worth so much money. So much money and a lot of ease. And when we come back, we'll continue on with discussing business models.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
How can we Americans realize our dreams to earn a living? How can you pursue your dream and make money as an owner or an employee? Learn how at The American Business Person, the online weekly radio talk show hosted by Rich Killian. Today's business leaders share how to succeed and what fails. If you own a new or established business or ever hope to, you must tune in. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Central, and noon Pacific on the Voice America Business Channel or listen on demand to our archived shows.
In sales, are you a lion or a vulture? Lions don't wait. They just go for it. Vultures hang around until the lions are finished and just pick up the scraps. How can you set yourself apart as a lion? Join the other aspiring sales lions and listen to Forget Patience, Let's Sell Something with host Ty Maynard. You'll learn the tips and strategies of top sales professionals. You'll gain more clients at a faster rate and at higher margins. If you're a sales professional, business owner, or executive, listen in every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific on the Voice America Business Channel.
We're always talking business.
Talk to an expert.
Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to Moving Forward with Jen Sabin. We'd love to hear from you today. Please call in to our program at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. If you'd prefer, send an email to Jen Sabin at jensabin.com. And remember, that's two N's in Jen. Now, back to Moving Forward.
Hello, welcome, welcome, welcome. So we're just talking about business models. And some of you might say, well, I know how I make my money. You know, I know the product or service I do and how I make money. Is that the best business model for your product or service? Just because you're making money doesn't mean that that's the best business model. There may be even the opportunity to create something. Now, something that's really important is you just don't make presumptions. You want to test it. You want to test the components of it, right? One of the things to consider is if you had to give your product or service away for free, how would you make money? Where would you make money? You know, if you're not familiar I don't know if it's pronounced Jigar or Jaeger Shah. J-I-G-A-R-S-H-A-H, who's the founder of Sun Edison. Some of you may be familiar with him. If you are not, please, please Google this or Bing it or ping it or do whatever you need to do to know his story. Because here's someone who is another capitalist, by the way. Yay. And basically, he was determined and committed to have solar energy be a resource in the United States of America, right? And that's where we're starting out, in terms of that. And the reason why most entities didn't, have small businesses, mid-sized businesses, whatever, didn't have solar energy is because the cost is super expensive to install the stuff. All right? So this is a man who went through many, many different obstacles and challenges trying to have this happen and introduce this. So what he did, and this was really interesting, was he decided he would do that part for free. They'd pay for the, not for the panels, but for the installation and the maintenance. And he would sell, ultimately, this is the end of the story. So I apologize. This is kind of like, they lived happily ever after. You know, he solved the crime. The butler did it. So what he wound up doing was selling, because it was solar, the same way that other utilities, he sold power purchasing agreements. So in other words, he identified how to make a power purchasing agreement profitable for solar, and no one had done this before. So when SunEdison, his company, installs a solar or panels array, the customer agrees to buy the electricity, electricity it produces, I tripped over that one, to buy the electricity it produces at a set price for at least 10 years. Now, here's what's so amazing. Businesses love that. Could you imagine if that became a fixed expense, versus a variable cost going out 10 years, what that can do to your projections, to your bookkeeping? Oh my gosh, brilliant. However, he still needed the cash for, you know, the stuff. So what he did was he created a secondary market by packaging these, because he had a 10-year commitment of revenue generation, and so he got financing. He was able to sell this as an investment opportunity to the industry, to in banks, investment firms, private bankers, to for money for the new solar systems using the prepaid agreements as collateral. So the revenue goes towards, from the prepaid purchase agreements, goes towards paying the lenders who get a return on their money in addition to the tax and solar rebates, because they're subsidized, they're investing in green and solar energy. And you know, it's amazing. They could also, they claim an accelerated depreciation benefit. They could take a federal investment tax credit. It's a 30% write-off. And banks pay SunEdison a development fee, and they cover the cost of monitoring and serving the installations. I mean, VCs invested in SunEd because of the business model that Mr. Shah, S-H-A-H, created, because the traditional business model for this didn't work. How amazing is that? And if that doesn't inspire you and interest you, then consider what something like that could provide for your company, not his model, but using some of that kind of creative pragmatism. Okay, so that's why I'm challenging that maybe your business model, while it's working, could have some enhancements or improvements, or maybe there's a revolution down the pike. I don't know. Right? And, you know, it's kind of flipping things upside down. For example, and this is a marketing strategy, but it used to be part of their business model, was there's a gentleman who writes books, and he used to sell his books. And then he decided what he was going to do is give the books away for free, and just people had to pay a flat rate for shipping. So instead of the $20-something dollars, you would get this hardcover book for free, right? And it became, and attached to this was a brilliant marketing campaign that had people lead up to like a very high-end subscription purchase, etc. So rather than this be a direct revenue stream, it became a marketing strategy, and because of the number of books sold, similar to what was Harbecker did from Peak Potentials, he, in order to get into a seminar for free, you needed to have a code, bring the book. So his books became a number one bestseller. Wasn't because people were running out to buy his book because of who he was and what he said, and I'm not saying that he's not a really interesting, bright man with a lot of great information. But what he did was he was able to have the book be a lost leader. So, however, it was generating revenue from it. It was the ticket into the concert into his conferences or his workshops, programs. Brilliant. Brilliant. Now, these are kind of innovative marketing strategies, and different versions of this have been done for a long time. But are you thinking that way? And remember what we talked about a couple weeks ago. If something's working, this isn't about stopping what's working because you're bored, but maybe it's time to introduce a new initiative. So that might be simply what we're talking about here. This is the first week, so I know this is recorded and gets posted, and you might be downloading this from iTunes, but this is the first week of the second quarter, right? What a great time to introduce, if not this quarter, just being about maybe creating something, exploring, investigating, starting to do some R&D around it, right? I don't know, but we want to make sure that you're not just focusing your time, your energy, and resources on maintaining because this is the way it's done or this is how – I mean, there are so many presumptions and assumptions, and that's why I said, are you doing your business model by default or is there an opportunity to do it by design? Where do you make your money? Where does the cash flow come from in your business? And – are there other opportunities for cash flow that you're not maximizing that don't cannibalize your business but actually represent a new business model? So if you have not gone to business model generation, then I highly suggest that, you know, I recommend it. The other thing that's really interesting is they've got a great piece on there for a for the iPad. And they don't have anything for a Mac or Android or they don't have it to be used in other areas. But they do have an online version if you don't have an iPad. So they've actually covered all the markets to be able to use this particular resource. And if you haven't check this out yet, you know, you might be typing this in as you're listening. Check it out. Really check it out. Because this is very much about what real innovation is. Not just talking about it. This is about the potential for you to create something new. Now, I'm certainly a strong advocate of, you know, that pragmatism, that common sense, the numbers don't lie, to make sure something is sustainable and make sure it's scalable. So this isn't fantasy. This isn't, you know, Peter Pan conversation. But this is really pushing up against, is there something available for my product or service? Is there a business model that would better serve my business? The same way that for Nespresso, going after business as a client was not the ideal way. It was actually something that we're considering trashing, and they took the same product and created a different business model. Sell it through all the retailers and lock in the daily. I mentioned toothpaste before. It was like they were selling toothpaste. People have coffee every day, several times a day. You know, I presume that many of us use soap or toothpaste, and these are consumer items that are disposable in the sense that we're buying them on a regular basis. We are going to buy more toothpaste. And if someone could capture and lock in, if I had to get my toothpaste for myself and my family from a specific place and a specific website, and that was the only place that I could get toothpaste that worked with my toothbrush, and this was a toothbrush that I like, brilliant. And no one else could sell toothpaste for that toothbrush without being a patent infringement. Brilliant. Brilliant. So consider for yourself. You might say, well, we don't have patents. Yeah, but that doesn't mean that there isn't a business model out there for you that you just haven't considered. Okay, so this is critical thinking stuff, right? So this isn't something necessarily that you turn around overnight. And check out the business model canvas for this. It's going to be really interesting. It might be, as I say, this could be a great Q2 initiative. All right, we're going to go to break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about leadership.
The business community's first choice in Internet Talk Radio, Voice America Business Network.
Today's business marketplace is becoming increasingly global thanks to technologies that didn't even exist a few short years ago. Your business might be a startup, or you might be one of the global 500. Either way, you're probably looking at customers and competitors in faraway regions. Listen for Global Reach with host Tay Revez as she brings together experts, ideas, and listeners to help you anywhere in the world. Global Reach is broadcast every Thursday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel. If you currently or aspire to serve on a board or work in a leadership capacity for or with a public or nonprofit organization, where can you turn to get the best advice and practices? How about Leadership Matters with Dr. Cheryl G. and Jenny Frumer? Our program discusses challenges facing both public and nonprofit leaders. Don't miss these practical solutions and tips to enhance your leadership style and effectiveness. Leadership Matters with Dr. Cheryl G. and Jenny Frumer airs live Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Business Channel. Tune in every week for the Ellis Martin Report. Our program will bring you the news and information that you need each week. We look at publicly traded small and mid-cap companies from a variety of sectors. We'll talk to key people in the industry to bring you the foreground and background of new and up-and-comers for potential investment. Please remember, invest only at your own risk. The Ellis Martin Report is meant for information purposes only. Tune in every Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on Voice America Business.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to Moving Forward with Jen Sabin. We'd love to hear from you today. Please call in to our program at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. If you'd prefer, send an email to Jen Sabin at jensabin.com. And remember, that's two N's in Jen. Now, back to Moving Forward.
Hello, hello. Welcome back, everyone. Okay, so far we have discussed assistants, executive assistants, and Sir Richard Branson. We have also, and by the way, definitely continue to respond to what is something that you make sure you always have on with you, have on you, that you carry around that is important to your business. So in other words, what do you carry in regards to business? I'm noticing, I don't know if anyone else could hear it, that my chair is squeaking. I'm sitting in a chair with all the studio equipment on, and I just noticed it squeaking. So if it is and you can hear it, I apologize for that. It's a little Tin Man action. We've got to oil it. And so we discussed that. We discussed business models by default or design. And resource recommended is business model generation. Check it out. Really interesting. Do some YouTube searches on it. Business model. How does your business make its money? And is there a business model for you? Have you even considered it? Or did you just kind of, you know, when you consider how the consumer purchasing has changed in regards to what your market is, there may be a different business model that would best serve your product or service. I don't know what it is, but consider that it certainly is a question worth engaging in. And worst case scenario, you might come up with something that's an enhancement to your business that will improve efficiency, that may be a great marketing strategy. I don't know. I don't know. But the part I do know is to be in the exploration and questioning of this. And if you don't have time to work on your business from the level of the design of it, then that's the piece that needs to be done. We must, as business owners, create the space for executive thinking. And you hear my voice getting very demonstrative. Like, no kidding. It's like living in a house and never cleaning it. Like, you have to create the space to work on it. It is actually a part of what your business needs and requires. Okay? And I know many of you know this. That doesn't mean that it's simple to do. I realize and I recognize many of our clients at GMG, this is a part of what we're introducing to them. And if you don't have the capacity or the bandwidth to do that, then, you know, create that space in your calendar now for Q3, for Q4, for your end evaluation, whether it's monthly. And I'm not just talking about the meeting with your team or whatever it is. And if you're not having meetings with your team, why not? And the reason you might not be is because the relationship to what a meeting is incredibly inefficient. And I don't mean that in any way disparaging, but I will tell you, we worked with a client once and it wasn't a huge company, and we literally could quantify that we saved them close to 7 figures. And this was a small mid-sized business per annum by making their meetings more efficient, and people were happier. By the way, Old Man Neuberger, for those of you who are from the street and are old-timers, and I mean Wall Street, they used to have their meetings standing up because they were short, they were to the point, and, you know, there's different kinds of meetings, but those Monday morning meetings, standing up, they were like 15 minutes next. So definitely make sure that you're meeting with the key people in your business and that you're also taking the time to connect and are tuned into what's really happening on the front line in your business and not what might just be made neat and pretty and tidy by kind of the channels of direct reports. In some cultures, that's not an issue, and in other business cultures, it certainly is an issue. So I said I was going to talk about leadership. Leadership. Here's a question that I have. There are a lot of, in pop culture right now on television, a lot of like reality shows and television shows where they go into businesses, where they follow people around, where, you know, that whole piece. If a camera were to follow you around for a week, watching how you interact with your business, with your clients, with your customers, with your vendor, all of it, is there anything that you would change because the camera was on? Is there anything that you might say differently to someone? Is there anything that you might be doing or that you wouldn't be doing because the camera is on? So something you would start doing or something you would stop doing? Now, if there's an inconsistency or a gap there, then start interacting with like those cameras are on. And I don't mean pretense or pretend, but there's something for you that's potentially out of alignment there, right? Because there's how you want to be known, and then there's how you're actually being. There's what you need to be doing, and then there's what you're actually doing, okay? So find a way to deal with that. And why this falls under leader is leadership, you know, there's leader by title, and if it's your business, then, you know, you've got the title. And then there's leader by how someone is being and what they're doing, right? And not all leaders are the same. You know, certainly you could find different styles, you know, and different characteristics and different strengths and some different gifts, you know, whether it's creativity, the ability to inspire, the being accountable, being a risk taker, being empathetic. A great orator, right? There's different qualities. Some of them you might be a fan of, and others you might not be a fan of the style that it shows up. But the bottom line here is for each one of us, and I'll tell you, this is something that I'm taking on personally, and I'm looking at my team in terms of all of us to notice if there is that incongruity and that inconsistency. So, you know, the question is, how do you know if you're being an effective leader? Well, you could ask, you can look at the results, and I'm just going to leave that as a question on the table. And that's one of the things that we're going to discuss. Now, I don't mean leadership. Like, there's so much, all these books and conversations and this and that around leadership. And a lot of talk and a lot of broad generalizations, right? Leader, you know, Mr. Shah, who I mentioned earlier, is a leader, right? They're calling him a thought leader, or this, or that. You know, he did what he felt what needed to be done. He fulfilled on a commitment, on a vision, on a passion. And, you know, he wasn't necessarily liked. He may have been even mocked in terms of, you know, this isn't going to happen. Doesn't make sense. It's not going to work. So a leader is not someone who always has people, quote unquote, following them, or servant leader, or whatever it is. But there's something about being true to yourself. You know, we are all pulled towards people who have remained true to something. And in that way, they show up as leaders in our community. You know, the leader isn't, the real leader isn't the one with the title. Now, there's something interesting. For our listeners who have their own businesses, who are running a business or a division of business, whatever it is, you've got the title, right? You've got it. Now, are you being that leader? So that's something I'm going to open up and explore, and we're going to continue to look at, as that being also something that I'm personally looking at for myself and my organization this quarter. So it'll come back as a theme. But you know where I always am is around the bottom line. What's the cash flow? At the end of the day, at the end of the week, what's the cash flow? That's the heartbeat. Again, capitalist with a capital C. So thank you so much for being here today. I know some of what we discussed was more about challenging and opening up than providing a solution. And very often when we're just providing solutions rather than resources and ways to consider something and to look at it, then we've just limited you. And believe it or not, because you may come up with something that just trumps it in its brilliance, rather than being given, you know, A plus B equals C. With that being said, everyone, thank you so much for today, and make this week a moving forward week. Bye now.
Thank you again for tuning in to Moving Forward. Please join Jen Sabin again next Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel. Make your week a moving forward week.